Coming next to the stage, we have a short story writer currently working on a graphic novel. That is super cool. I love comics, so this is especially close to my heart. Please welcome Chels Harvey.
So I should also mention that the reason that I'm here, that I was invited, and I'm going to out you a little bit here, is that I used to work at Myopic Books. Are any of you guys familiar with Myopic? Okay, cool. Very awesome place. Love it very much. Still care very deeply for it. But I was working at Myopic, and I have to say that Katie and her husband were the only people to ever come into Myopic drunk who didn't piss me off. So that's why I'm here. I met Katie and her husband while they were looking for a book on one of your birthdays?
It was his birthday.
His birthday. Yeah. That's what I thought. Okay. Yeah, and then it just, you guys were such a joy. and so that's how I found out about the Nerdalogs, and I've never actually read a story before. So please be gentle and kind to me. Yeah. Okay, that's like not gentle. That's like very aggro, but I meant to. Okay. So by the time that my family figured out that our home was infested by cockroaches, it was absolutely too late. I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia, which is the kind of warm, humid environment where palmetto bugs, which is like the very polite southern way of saying cockroach, they just absolutely thrived. They loved it there. It was not unusual to see cockroaches like running along a storm drain or like behind a dumpster in broad daylight. But it was kind of unusual when my family started to see them in our house, like between couch cushions or like underneath plates in the cupboards, just like anywhere that you don't want to see a palmetto bug. And when we did notice, it's funny because we absolutely did not come up with like a plan for how to get rid of them or really strategize at all. What we did instead was to begin this kind of horrible, strange choreography that one adopts when you're learning to live with something that no one wants to acknowledge. I call it the roach dance. So the roach dance went a little bit like this. Someone would spot a cockroach, and when they did, that person would jump up from their place on the couch and grab a shoe. This was kind of a cue for the other two people to know that they needed to jump up from the couch and also grab their weapons. So after that would happen, you would grab like a broom or a spray bottle of chemical cleaner, or if you were my brother, you would grab a literal fucking paper towel. A paper towel. I am still haunted by the idea of my human fingers touching a roach through only the thin layer of a paper towel. Let it haunt your dreams, people. It will never go away. So I obviously did not do that. Yeah, I feel bad because I missed my favorite part of that joke is that I call them the, a suit of armor body, because holy shit, have you ever seen a roach before? It looks like a little suit of armor, like just coming to destroy you. So anyway, once we had our weapons, just picture this, right? Like I'm hunched over, I've got two shoes on both of my hands, I'm ready to literally slap a roach to its imminent death. My mom is clutching a broom, like in the scared way that Scooby-Doo does when they find him in a closet in a mansion. And then my brother is holding a fucking paper towel. Like, I don't even think I can imagine anything that's more, like, fragile masculinity. So we're all there, prepped, ready, and on someone's count, we would strike, which pretty much meant that I would get scared, drop both shoes, my mom would knock the roach with a broom onto the ground, and then my brother, yelling expletives, would use his fucking hand to break the roach's body in front of us. So, anyway, this went on for a long time, and I want to emphasize that it was not planned. One day, it just kind of happened. We realized that we were coordinating in this, like, very strategic way, and it went on like this for years. We worked together to annihilate the roaches one by one, every time they appeared, simultaneously refusing to acknowledge or allow that there might be a larger problem. it took me many years to see that this impromptu choreography mirrored the way that my family responded to the first symptoms of my mental illness. Like the roaches, these symptoms appeared as if out of nowhere, like bugs hiding in the dark of our family home. At a moment's notice, they would appear. Compulsive thoughts, often about killing myself. Loss of interest in things that I loved, like school or finishing a book. Irritation that I absolutely could not control. And sadness that I did a terrible job of hiding. Each one would reveal themselves to us, to me and my family, and the choreography would begin, except instead of shoes or brooms, of course, they struck with excuses or suggestions. The first time I asked my mom if she thought I might have bipolar disorder, I could hear her sighing over the phone. Chels, that is a very serious disorder. You don't have that. You're very anxious. Why don't you take up jogging? My brother told me that I was selfish and a bitch. They conflated my symptoms with traits because that made them easier to eradicate or dismiss. When I finally moved away from home, mental illness and the roaches followed me. After 6 months in my first apartment, I began to notice small brown seeds showing up. I thought that these seeds were like literally part of some sort of like pollination in Georgia that I didn't understand. Until a few months later when I realized that they were cockroach eggs. They were eggs. Cockroaches lay eggs. And I'm not going to tell you how I figured that out, but I will say that it was not Google. So here I am in my first apartment, surrounded by like fledgling baby cockroaches, doing the dance alone, the cockroach dance, with one spray bottle of Windex, one set of hands, and I realized that it wasn't working. Like my symptoms, the eggs were growing, changing, taking over, running out of places to hide. I left that apartment and I moved to Chicago, where there were no roaches and no dance. I figured in some way I'd left both problems behind. I thought I'd been cured. I kept trying to kill the parts of me that made my life more difficult, that made relationships more difficult, and I chased after them with the same excuses that my family used. Until one day, the excuses stopped working, and I didn't have any more weapons. On February 27th, 2017, I admitted myself to the ER at Northwestern Memorial Hospital. When you check yourself into an ER, the floor nurse makes you tell her the symptoms that you have in front of an entire room of people. So somewhere on a hospital form next to my name, it says suicidal ideation, which is like a fun little way to say what I actually said to them, which was, yeah, I don't know. I can't stop thinking about killing myself and have for the last 4 days. I was admitted to the inpatient psychiatric wing after a 20-minute conversation with the ER psychiatrist, who in 20 minutes diagnosed me with bipolar 1. Bipolar 1. For 7 days, without a phone or laces in my shoes, I was forced to face these symptoms that I'd spent years avoiding, and my diagnosis. Bipolar 1 is a mood disorder. It's characterized by alternating periods of deep, deep depression and mania, which is a period of activity in most cases, or in my case, a kind of anxious agitation. So like, I don't even get the cool kind, right? Because like mania is when you get to like write a book in like 5 minutes. My mania was like, I get mad at my dog. Very not chill. But bipolar 1 and the bipolar spectrum is a chemical medical problem. It's a medical problem. It's a chronic illness. It's not a failing, it's not a weakness, and it's not something to be ignored or fixed with jogging. If you learn to manage it, in time, you can learn to live with it. I've been taking pills for 18 days, and I do feel better. I haven't told my family about my stay in the hospital, and I probably never will.
Oh man. Thank you so much for sharing that. What a wonderful first time. We love first time storytellers here. If you have never told a story in a live setting and you want to, email yourstories@nerdalogs.com. We'd love to have you at our next show, which I will plug later. But right now we have one